Hopefully you got one of the yellow sheets that say sermon notes and response card. It's an opportunity to write down scriptures, ideas, things that you found helpful. And then at the end, I'd invite you to share what God is saying to you so we can pray for you and support you. You can also use one of the cards if you wanted in front of you. The pink one is a connect card. The yellow one is a prayer card. The blue one is a serve card. These are all ways for us to connect and communicate with each other. I invite you to join me now in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Every new year, people make resolutions about the habits they will focus on in the upcoming year, habits that they think will change their lives for the better. ABC News recently published a survey that listed the top resolutions for 2019. I wonder if you could guess the top five. You can just shout out your guesses. What do you think made the top five list? Lose, okay, so exercise, lose weight, number one, 38%. What else? Stop smoking is a good one, but it wasn't on the top five.
Stop swearing.
Not swearing? Also good. You guys are making me worry a little bit. Other thoughts? What would make the top five? So we have exercise, lose weight. Those are all good. Still not at the top. So new job or hobby made number four, 12%. Not more time with family, but number five is make new friends. So I guess they weren't too happy with the family. I don't know. But number two is saving money, 37%. That was number two. And you said vacation. Number three is travel, 24%. So surveys tell us these are the top habits that people want to focus on in the new year. Surveys also tell us that less than 9% of people actually are successful at incorporating these new habits in their life. That's not a great success rate. As I was looking through that list, I noticed that there's a habit missing. It's top on Jesus' list, and it's a habit that Jesus commanded all of his followers to focus on. It's a habit that we see exemplified and encouraged in our readings. And unfortunately, it's a habit that many Christians today are not incorporating in their life. I won't make you guess, but you can think in your head, what do you think that habit is? Well, in the message, we're going to identify the habit and how to successfully incorporate it in our lives. The shepherds in our gospel reading, they model the habit for us. The shepherds were the first ones to receive the good news about Jesus. And what did they do? They shared the good news with others. This is the habit. Share the good news. Later, Jesus would command all of his followers to incorporate this habit in their lives. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus commands his followers to share the good news with everyone, everywhere. But long before he gave that command, we find the shepherds living out this habit. Something motivated the shepherds to share the good news. It wasn't duty. They were never commanded to share the good news. It wasn't fear or guilt. They spread it freely with joy in their hearts, praise on their lips. I think the motivation was they realized we have really good news to share. News too good not to share. And the shepherds were uniquely positioned to understand this good news. One reason was their status. Many scholars have noted that shepherds were part of a despised social class. The reason that they watched flocks in the fields far away from the populated areas is because the smell was so bad people couldn't breathe. People in society viewed shepherds as kind of despicable, unclean. In other words, they were made to feel as if they were worthless and unwanted. I wonder if any of you have ever been made to feel like that. God flipped the script. God pursued the shepherds. He came to them not in the temple, but in the fields with the smelly sheep. God cared so much about them, wanted a relationship with them so bad that God was willing to come down and meet them where they were at. That's pretty good news. And the angel said, this good news is for all people. Friends, hear this. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what you've been through, God is pursuing you. That's why Jesus came. God cares so much about you. God wants a relationship with you so bad. God is willing to come down and meet you right where you're at. That's really good news. And there's another thing that uniquely positioned the shepherds to understand the good news. And that was their flocks. The shepherds weren't just watching any ordinary old sheep. Flocks reserved for the temple sacrifices were kept in fields near Bethlehem. The shepherds were watching sacrificial lambs. In case you're not familiar with Israel's religious customs, the people of Israel understood that our sins deserve punishment. Someone has to pay the price. And they had this whole system where they would offer animal sacrifices to atone for the sins of the people. It was a horrible cycle of sin and death and sin and death that never ended until God flipped the script by sending his own son, Jesus, to be the sacrificial lamb for us once and for all. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to take the punishment for all of our wrongs on the cross so he could save us from sin and death. Everyone who believes in him is offered the free gifts of God's forgiveness, eternal life, and new life through the power of his Holy Spirit. That's really good news. This past week, I was made aware of two deaths that impacted our congregation. Both men were men of deep faith. And I give thanks that someone, somewhere along the line, shared the good news about Jesus with them. Because now death doesn't get to be the end of the story. But they get to spend eternity with their Savior in heaven. The shepherds shared the good news, even though it meant facing some challenges. And there were challenges. For starters, it was nighttime. Can you just picture the shepherds running around the town at night, waking people up, disturbing the quiet, telling them about Jesus? Second, they had a strange story to share. Just picture the kind of faces and responses they might have got as they told people about angels in their fields and a God baby in a manger. Third, they really had no evidence. I mean, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. He hadn't risen from the grave yet. All they had was a baby lying in a feeding trough for animals. Not the most promising picture. And fourth, they were not well respected in society. Consider the courage it took for them to put themselves out there, knowing that it might lead to further rejection. These were real challenges, yet they did not deter the shepherds. The news was too good not to share. And God used these brave witnesses to spread amazement all around about the birth of Jesus. Although Jesus commands all of his followers to share the good news, sadly, this habit is falling out of practice among many Christians today. The Barna Research Group compared a study they did back in 1993 with a new study from 2018. They surveyed thousands of Christians, asked them to comment on this phrase: every Christian has the responsibility to share their faith. Agree? Disagree? In 1993, 89% agreed with the statement. In 2018, only 64% agreed. It's a 25-point drop. The study found that Christians today, more than 25 years ago, perceive social barriers to sharing their faith. We're afraid of being rejected or labeled for our faith. The study also found that Christians today are busier than we were 25 years ago, with jobs, kids' activities, hobbies, watching shows and movies. And none of these activities are bad per se, but more and more Christians are disconnecting their everyday life from sharing their faith. And as a result, many people are missing out on hearing and experiencing the good news of Jesus. Thankfully, our first reading from Colossians offers hope and help. Colossians is a letter from the Apostle Paul. Paul was very successful at sharing the good news, despite many challenging cultural challenges. In Paul's day, he lived in a world that was very hostile to the message of Jesus. It was risky to take a stance different from the popular cultural views. He was arrested, tortured, imprisoned for his faith. He wrote Colossians and many of his other letters from prison. Nevertheless, Paul was very successful at sharing the good news with others. A couple weeks ago, we looked at a letter that he wrote to the Philippians. In that letter, he shared some success he had. He wrote, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear through the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Paul's testimony gives us hope that we can be successful sharing the good news, even in the face of challenging cultural situations. But you might be thinking, that's the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's the most effective evangelist and leader in the Christian church. Sure, okay, but I'm just an ordinary person. Colossians gives us hope that even ordinary people can be successful sharing the good news about Jesus. Quick show of hands. Before today, how many of you had heard of the Apostle Paul? Okay, most of you. Before today, how many of you have heard of Epaphras? Not as many. The church at Colossae wasn't started by Paul. It was started by an ordinary man by the name of Epaphras. Epaphras came to faith during Paul's ministry in Ephesus. You see the two towns up on the screen. Epaphras carried the gospel 100 miles east to share the good news in Colossae. And despite complex, challenging cultural situations, Epaphras was able to start many churches in that area. If Epaphras can do it, that gives us hope that we all can do it. This is something you can do, I can do. In addition to offering hope, Paul's letter to the Colossians gives us help. He reveals three tips for how we all can be successful practicing this habit. And as we join in God's loving pursuit of the world, we have three other P words to keep in mind. The first P word is prayer. Our reading begins, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." I think one reason it can seem intimidating to share our faith is we think it all depends on our wisdom and ability. But we are never meant to do this on our own. Not even meant to try it on our own. If you remember Acts 1:8, Jesus said the power to be his witnesses would come from his Spirit. We need God to be successful with this habit. In other letters, Paul explained, we're engaged in a spiritual battle that goes well beyond human realms. We need spiritual weapons like prayer if we want to win this battle. And Paul knew that prayer was essential for his success. I don't know if you were able to pick up on how Paul prayed in Colossians. He could have prayed that God would open the prison doors and set him free. Instead, he prayed that God would open doors for him to share the good news. He prayed that God would help him proclaim it clearly. Prayer is essential for success. We pray that God would work in and through us. We pray for the people we talk with before, during, after our conversation. Praying, asking God that their minds would be opened, that their hearts would be receptive to what the Spirit is saying. A practical way to pray is to make a prayer box. A prayer box has four quadrants, each containing a category of relationships in our life. You have family, friends, work, school, neighbors. You put the names of the people you know who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus in each of those boxes. And I challenge you to make your own prayer box, to look at it every day, and to pray for the people in your lives. And I know sometimes we can get weary with prayer when we don't see results right away. That's why Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Keep at it. Just because you don't see anything happening doesn't mean God's not working. He says, as you pray, be watchful. Watch for the signs and opportunities God gives you. Be thankful. Be thankful that God listens and that God is working, whether you can see it or not. One of my prayer inspirations is a man by the name of George Mueller. One day, George decided to pray for five of his friends who didn't know Jesus. Several months later, one of his friends came to faith. 10 years later, two more of his friends put their faith in Jesus. It took 25 years for the fourth friend to accept Jesus as his Savior. And Mueller prayed all the way up until his death for that fifth friend. He prayed for 52 years, never giving up hope that he would find Jesus. And his faith was rewarded. We're told that after Mueller's funeral, his fifth friend finally gave his life to Jesus. Prayer is essential. Two more P words. The second P word is prepare. Paul told the Colossians at the end of the reading that he wanted them to know how to answer everyone. In prayer, we trust God for what only God can do. In this step, we take responsibility for what we can do. We prepare ourselves so that when God gives us an opportunity, we're ready to share the good news in a thoughtful, meaningful, compelling way. Paul wrote to the Colossians so that they'd be prepared to share the good news with others. In a couple of weeks, we are partnering with over 600 other churches in the Chicagoland area for a series called Explore God. In this series, we're going to address 7 of the biggest faith questions. This series is designed to reach people outside the church, but it's also meant to equip people inside the church so you know how to answer everyone. Along with this 7-week series, we're hosting small groups where people can dive deeper into the content for further conversation and reflection. If you're not yet in a small group, fill out one of the pink cards and let us know. We'd love to plug you in so that you can be well prepared. I challenge you to make a commitment to be in worship all 7 weeks of that series and to be in a small group so you are prepared. And then the third P word is polite. Paul wrote to the Colossians, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. The way we treat people, the way we speak to people, plays a big part in how successful we are sharing the good news. Because it doesn't matter how good your message is, if your approach is not good, you lose your effectiveness. I think we saw a negative example of this with the protesters the last few weeks. I don't know if any of you saw the protesters outside. They weren't protesting our church. They were protesting a social issue. And regardless of what you thought about that issue, their approach was abrasive. They used megaphones to shout at people. They held up disturbing signs and images. They turned you off before you could even hear the message. Paul said, it's not okay for Christians to be abrasive in our approach to others. Because if we are inconsiderate, rude, condescending, or judgmental, we will turn people off before they have a chance to hear our message. And even if we disagree with someone or disapprove of what they're doing, we are still responsible to treat them with dignity and to speak kindly. Our conduct and speech should match the good news we have to share. Remember, we have a God who cares about everyone. A God who wants a relationship with all people so much, he was willing to come down and meet us where we're at. A God who loves all people so much that he would sacrifice his own life to save us from sin and death and offer us a new life through the power of his Spirit. Followers of Jesus, our conduct, our speech should reflect this good news. We're to listen well. We're to serve. We're to choose words that are kind, courteous, gracious. For when we're polite, we give the good news a chance to be heard. I saw a positive example of this on Christmas Eve. We had a police officer stationed in our parking lot to help with safety and traffic flow. On my way out, I stopped at the car to say thank you. And he said, "You have the best church." He said, "People have been so nice to me all evening long. Someone even came and brought food out to my car." We got to talking, and he shared how he was looking for a home church and that he really wants to check out Good Shepherd. I challenge you to demonstrate that kind of politeness to everyone you encounter, in person, online, whether they be a police officer or a protester. Because that gives the good news a chance to be heard. And I know there's a lot of other people like the police officer who need you, who need me to share the good news with them. And so as you reflect on what habits you want to focus on in the new year, don't forget the habit on the top of Jesus' list, the habit that he commands all of his followers to incorporate in their lives. Think about how you might share the good news with others. And as we transition into our response time, I'd like for you to focus on one of the P words, the one that fits best for you. Maybe it's prayer, and you're going to fill out your own prayer box and pray for the people in your life. Maybe it's prepare, and you want to commit to being in worship and being in a small group for the Explore God series. Or maybe it's polite, and you realize that you need to make a commitment to speak and act in ways that reflect the good news that we have to share. They give you some time to reflect, and if you have one of the response cards, if you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. Take some time, and we'll have some conversation before I close us in prayer. Think about what is your takeaway? What is your action step that you feel like God is leading you towards? as you were praying, reflecting, what were some of the takeaways that you had, or some of the action steps that you felt God leading you to take? As you're willing, I just open it up. Anyone is free to share. What were some of your takeaways or action steps that you want to incorporate in your life? Yeah? Wonderful. So she wants to join a small group. Make sure to let us know on the pink card, and we'll be happy to get you connected. Anyone else, a takeaway or an action step?
I like the idea of the prayer box. Hmm. I mean, I do my prayers, but then I'll be more organized and more mindful.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, so to be persistent in prayer. You never know how God is working in the timing. Anyone else willing to share a takeaway or action step? Yeah.
So I think committing to the prayer series, the sermon series coming up, is a great short-term goal, because it's hard to have long-term goals sometimes to make last the whole year. Uh-huh. So I like that, and I just think that it's powerful too, that there's so many, like I've seen this not only from Good Shepherd, but other churches and other communities that are talking about this, and yeah, just all those communities exploring this sermon series. There's something powerful about that.
Love it. Yes, it's super exciting. Okay. Anything else? Yeah. Sure, yeah. So diligence and prayer and confidence to share. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
The politeness thing strikes me, because I can win the intellectual argument and turn somebody away, and that doesn't do any good.
Thanks for sharing that.
I was just going to share the same about politeness, just even when I'm not witnessing, but just going around town, just my interactions with people, because my mother always ends up meeting people and forming friends everywhere she goes,
nice.
And it's really sweet, and I think sometimes when I am in a hurry, I'm not polite, and then I'm only polite to the people in my life, and just I'm sure I could be a much better witness for God and just for humanity if I were more polite in just everyday interactions.
Thanks for sharing that. Your mom sounds fun.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else before I close us in prayer? All right. Well, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for the good news. I pray that if there's anybody here today who's never before received that good news, that they would make today, December 30th, their day to open their heart to you and receive the forgiveness, eternal life, and new life that you so freely offer through Jesus. Together as your people, we hear your command to share the good news. You know the challenges that we face, and yet you say there is hope and there is help. We ask you to give us wisdom to know how we can apply the scripture and the message for today, and the courage to take the steps you're calling us to take. So Good Shepherd will always be a church that would reach and transform spiritually distracted people, so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,